we are holding on the Dalit on the Bay's six lines from the bottom. That line against Omar. Okay, we're in the middle of a long discussion, a long and very complicated discussion about the ins and outs of Tum Vatara, specifically with reference to the whole issue of Chulin Shanasu Al Paras HaKodesh and Chulin Shanasu Al Paras Truma. So to recap, you have the regular Chulin, where the rule is, the general rule is that the furthest you can go with Truma with it is Sheni the Truma. You have Truma, according to everybody except for Rabbi Akiva, let's not get into that right now. You have Truma, where you can go one degree further, you can have a Shlishi. You have Kodesh, Kodshim, where you can go even one degree further and you can have a Ravi. And we were discussing all the pros and cons and the different opinions about, then you have where a person decides that in their household, they're going to keep Chulin to the standards of Truma, called Al-Paras Truma, or to the standards of Kodesh, called Shanasu Al-Paras Kodesh. Which, again, they might do that because they're regularly eating Truma or Kodshim, as the case may be, and they want to be sure that they're familiar with the standards so that they don't slip up when they actually do eat Truma or Kodshim. So we're getting into a whole discussion. What is the status of those things as far as the dinim of Truma Vatara? To what extent do they have, or according to what opinions, do those things have the status of what you're trying to keep them as, Truma or Kodshim, as the case may be, and to what extent do they not? So the last thing we said,
what extent they have the standard.
So, for example, Chulin Shanasu Al Paras Truma, to what extent does it have the dinim of Truma that it's able to become a Shlishi, and that if it becomes Shlishi, that it would have the dinim of Truma like that? And similarly, with Chulin Shanasu Al Paras HaKodesh, to what degree does and doesn't it have the rules of actual Kodesh, of being susceptible to the V, and that if it becomes Tomei, then you have the consequences like you would with Kodesh, and that what it can be makame, what it does to the person when he eats it, and so forth.
A truma, the maximum it can go to
is shlishi.
Right. And a
kodesh is a vira. Right. Later on in the sugya, by the way, Rashi learns that the whole concept of having shlishi and ravi, by truma and kodshim, Rashi learns later on in the sugya that whole concept is only dirabana. The Rambam apparently holds the same way also. Tosfos disagrees with that here and in several other places and says that no, actually those concepts are daraisa as well. But that's a side issue. Okay. So the last thing we said was we said that Ula had said like this: if a person has Chulin Shanasu Al Paras Truma, which became a Shlishi Latruma. So again, we've been discussing all this time that there is such a thing as Chulin Shanasu Al Paras Truma. It seems that everybody agrees to that. The only machlokes was about Kodesh, and therefore it has the rules of Truma, therefore it's susceptible to becoming a Shlishi Latruma. So suppose it does become a Shlishi Latruma. So Ula says that if a person eats that, then he's not allowed to eat Truma until he goes to the mikveh and has hair of shesh. So now, Eisvei Raham, so that's where we're holding, Eisvei Raham Nuna Lola, so Raham Nuna says to Ula, I have a contradiction to you, that you're telling me that Shlishi of Chulin Shanasu Al Paras Truma, if a person eats them, then he becomes Tomei to eat Truma. We learn in a Mishnah in Taris as follows. Taris basically is, we've been quoting a number of Mishnayot from Taris throughout this whole discussion, because Taris is the Masechta that deals more than any other with these kinds of fine details of the different degrees of Truma and how they affect Truma and Kodshim and so on and so forth. So the Mishnah says, HaRishin Shebacholin Tomei Yomitanei, Rishin level, something that's Rishin Latruma of Cholin food, it itself is Tomei, because we know that Cholin you can go as far as Sheni, or Mitanei, and it's able to make other food Tomei, same idea, but in other words, that it's able to make other Chulin food Tomei as a Sheni, but the point is it's also able to make Truma a Sheni, where when Truma, anything that's not the last level of Truma is called Tomei. Anything that's the last level of Truma for that particular kind of food is called Posel. So the difference is, Posel just means it itself is Posel, but it won't be Mekame the next thing, as opposed to Tomei means it can be Mekame the next thing. So a Rishon of Chulin is not only itself Tomei, but it's Metame, it's able, if that Rishon food touches Truma, it will make it a Sheni, where now that Truma food in turn is going to be able to be Metame other Truma food, and make it a Shlishi. Therefore, it's Tomei or Metame. That's Sheni, food of Chulin that is a Sheni. poisel v'ein matami. All it can do, as far as truma, it can only pass it, because it will make the truma a shlishi. By truma, there's no such thing as revi, so therefore the maximum it can do is make truma poisel v'ein matami. It's not able to make other food tome in such a way that it will pass on the truma. Because again, from sheni it goes
to shlishi. Yes.
So sheni of cholin will be able to make truma shlishi, but that's only possible. It's not mitame in the sense that once you have shlishi of truma, it stops there. And Mishnah continues, v'hashlishi necha b'nizid hadema. Food of shlishi of cholin. And wait, we're going to have two explanations of Rashi plus one of Tosfos to deal with over here. What kind of shlishi we're talking about? But shlishi food necha b'nizid hadema. You're allowed to eat it. Cholin, that's one, hold on. So you're wondering how can there be cholin shlishi, so hold that for a second. You're allowed to have a stew, for example, that has, nizid means a stew, like vayozid yakov nazid. Dema means that has truma mixed into it. You have the Lashon HaPasuk about giving truma as maleach v'dima chaloi sa'achar. So one of the synonyms that you find in Shas, the truma is dema, mua, whatever. That's where the concept meduma comes from when you have truma mixed in with cholin. So nizid ha-dema then is a stew that is made that has truma mixed into it. So Rashi learns that what it means is, in other words, the stew itself, the porridge, whatever, the beans or whatever it's made out of, is cholin. You're allowed to put in it, for example, oil or garlic or spices of truma. If the stew itself is a shlishi, but you're allowed to put in it spices or whatnot of truma. Now, what are we talking about over here, shlishi of truma, shlishi of cholin? So Rashi brings two explanations. First, Rashi says that we must be talking about cholin shenasu al taras truma. That's what we're saying. They're susceptible to shlishi. So therefore, we're talking about that if they themselves become shlishi, then the Mishnah is saying you're allowed to make a stew out of such food, mix in spices of truma, and eat it. Then Rashi says, going further in the Sugya, that he doesn't really like that explanation on various grounds. Among others, the fact of the matter is, when he eats it, given that it's shlishi, he's going to become possible to eat truma. So how is he able to eat a stew that has truma spices in it? So therefore, Rashi prefers an explanation that we're not talking about cholin shenasu al taras truma. We're talking about regular cholin. So it can't really be a shlishi. That's the point. Cholin doesn't go further than shein. So what we mean is, in other words, if you have cholin food that touched a shein truma, nothing happens to it. Therefore, fine, you're allowed to mix in spices of truma and eat it.
Because
there's no such thing as a shlishi by cholin. So that's Rashi's second explanation, which he prefers. Tosfos have a long discussion about it. They actually prefer Rashi's first explanation, but with a twist that maybe we're not talking about, that Tosfos, among other things, discusses, that maybe we're not talking about plain cholin. We might even be talking about cholin that he, as long as he had in mind, even if he's not doing it al taras truma, he hasn't technically been keeping this cholin to the status of truma the whole time, but he has in mind that he's planning to put in truma spices into it, therefore from now on he has to keep it to the standards of truma. That's one thing that Tosfos points out. The standards of truma, meaning that it's susceptible to shlishi. But also Tosfos says that he prefers Rashi's first explanation, which is that we are talking about cholin shenasu al taras truma. Okay. So the question is like this, then Rav Hamnon asks. V'iam nifso gufi milacha b'truma. Now you, Ula, are telling us that if a person eats shlishi food of cholin shenasu al taras truma, then you're telling me that he himself becomes possible to eat truma. So therefore, the question is, in that case, how could we tell the Kohen, you're allowed to eat food that is going to make your goof possible to eat truma, because you're eating shlishi food, and then you're going to be eating the spices of truma with it. How does such a thing work?
If he was a sheni, you couldn't...
If the food was a sheni, there's no question. You can't put spices of truma into it. But if we're saying the food is a shlishi, therefore the Mishnah is saying you're allowed to put spices of truma into it. But the question is why? According to what you all are saying, that if you eat shlishi food, which is cholin shenasu al taras hakodesh, even though as regular cholin it wouldn't be susceptible to shlishi, but because it's cholin shenasu al taras truma, then it is susceptible to shlishi, and you're telling me that if he eats it, he's possible to eat truma, so how are you allowing him to make a stew over here and put in spices of truma and eat it? Set aside this question of Nizid Adema. That's not such a big deal if he ends up eating these spices of Truma while he has Truma Saguf. Because you have so little spice, we're talking about where you have so little spices in the mixture, in the stew, that you have less than a kazayis of it in the amount of food that would be b'chdei achilas pras. Well, therefore, in other words, so then usually we have in general with anything that's also to eat, you really the iser, at least on a daraisa level, exists only if you eat a kazayis b'chdei achilas pras. That is why we have, for example, famous thing that, for example, a person is not feeling well on Yom Kippur and they have to eat. You try to give them small amounts of food with enough time between them that there's more than a kedach el espras between the beginning and the end of the kazayis that they ate. How much kedach el espras is, you have machloikas between all the poskim. I've not seen the numbers anywhere from 2 to 11 minutes. Some ascetic, for example, said 6 or 7 minutes, but ideally 4. Anyway, the point is there is that amount. So over here, we're talking about a similar idea. Proportionately, we're talking about a kazayis b'chdei achilas pras comes out to a proportion of like 1/8 or so. So in other words, if he has a pras, which is, let's say, 2 kibbutzim of stew over here, there's less than a kazayis of spices in it. So therefore, it's not such a big deal to be eating it with tumas aguf.
And which way is not that big deal?
The fact that he's eating the stew that has spices of truma in it, Ula says, doesn't really matter, because the fact of the matter is, yes, he ends up eating more a kazayis or more than a kazayis of the spices of truma, and on the face of it, he's not allowed to when he's from it. However, he's eating them in more than b'chdei achilas pras, because the amount of time it takes him to eat a pras of the stew is more than the amount of time it's considered achila in halacha.
When you say a kibbutz, it has to be a kibbutz of truma or kibbutz of...
Kazayis, first of all.
Oh, kazayis
b'chdei achilas pras. It means, in other words, again, a pras is 2 beitzah. A beitzah is, you have a machlokes rishonim whether it's 2 or 3 kazayis. So therefore, it comes out that if there's a kazayis b'chdei achilas pras, it comes out, therefore, I guess, 1/4. Whatever. The point is, you have less than that proportion in this stew. So therefore it's not an issue, even if he were eating truma d'oraisa, then it wouldn't be such a big deal, because less than the amount. So therefore, now, okay, Tosis has asked the question. I mean, for the, you know, no, never mind. No, of course there are shirim daraisa, but the question is, but there still is a concept, chasi shir osim and atarda. There still is a concept that, for example, I mean, with other shirim as well. Let's say, for example, a person has to eat a kazayis of shreifus or nevelus or chaylev or whatever to be chayev, never, or cheseves on Yom Kippur or whatever, doesn't mean you're allowed to eat less than that. A person eats less than that, he still gets makas maris. This means that he's not chayev kares or malchus or korban or what have you. So what are we saying over here that's allowed? So there's a number of explanations, one of them being that since the whole iser of him eating truma in this case is only drabonon anyway, because the whole concept that he became tummy by eating the food is drabonon anyway, then we're not so worried about it. Anyway, the point is that Ola says that's different than the case where you would have him actually eating, where you'd have him actually eating truma be'ain as it is, pure truma, or mixed in with a smaller amount of kolon or whatever, that we wouldn't give him that dispensation. Okay. So now, again, Rashi goes through his first explanation over here, that the problem, we're talking about kolon shenasu al taras truma, and the only reason we're saying that he's allowed to is, again, because you have so little actual truma mixed in there. However, Rashi says I have a number of problems with that explanation. The fact of them, never mind the question of him not being able to eat truma, a person also has, or a kohen at least has, a mitzvah not to make himself tum. You have a Gemara in Yuma that brings this concept. Rashi says, you have different opinions in the Gemara over there, whether this is daraisa or drabonon. So maybe it's daraisa. Even if it's drabonon, you still have an iser. No. Again, if he's eating, we're just established, like according to Ola, if he eats shlishi shenasu al paras truma, if he eats cholin shenasu al paras truma that became a shlishi, we said he's not allowed to eat truma. That's considered then that he made his guf chol. So if you argue that he's also to do that on a daraisa level, then surely not. If you're going to argue that's only on a drabonon level, still, you're not supposed to do that. So forget about the question, how is he able to eat truma? Better Rav Hamnuna should be asking the question, how is this guy allowed to eat the stew in the first place if it's going to make him tummy? So for that and a couple of other reasons, Rashi prefers his second explanation that the original food, the original stew, was not cholin shenasu al taras truma at all, but rather plain old cholin. It's not really shlishi then. It's only because it touched the sheni. As cholin, it's not able to become a shlishi. Nevertheless, though, the fact is he's going to be putting in spices of truma in it, so he's going to have to eat it at the standards of truma. So effectively, at that point, it becomes cholin shenasu al taras truma. So now the question is not, so now we can understand. We're not saying, well, how could he be allowed to eat it? He's going to make himself tamei. He's not going to be tamei at this point because the food itself was not tamei. The question is only, how is he able to eat the truma after now this food, having the truma spices mixed into it? Now, when you mix in the spices, it gets the status of truma, and now it'll be tamei because truma can be a shlishi, and how can you do that? And the answer is, you can do that because there's less spices in there than today, than kazayas b'chadakilas trah. Okay, again, so it's because there's less than a kazayas b'chadakilas trah, therefore we're not going to be so stringent on him to say that this food, which originally was cholin, and the only thing that made it truma is that you put in spices of truma, to say that now, therefore, but less than a kazayas b'chadakilas trah, to say that now it should give it the status of truma and that he shouldn't be allowed to eat it, we're not going to be so machmir on him. We're still going to consider it effectively just basically cholin. Okay.
Less than a kazayis would not make the whole...
Less than a kazayis b'chdei achilas pras. Let's address that. We're not talking about whether you have more or less than a kazayis total. We're talking about, is there a kazayis b'chdei achilas pras proportionally? Do you have enough spices of truma in there that when you eat a pras, two kabesa, of this food, a pras is three or four base. And again, machlokas rishonim. A kazayas is half or a third of a kabesa, again, depending on machlokas rishonim. So whatever it is, let's say, for example, it's 1/8, then a half of two kazayasim to a kabesa and four kabesa to a pras. So then it would mean we're talking 12.5%. So we're talking, in other words, if you have 12 pounds, if you have 12 and a half pounds of the stew, you have less than a pound of spices in there. So altogether, yeah, if you eat half of the pot of stew, you're going to eat much more than a kazayas of spices, but it doesn't matter. You haven't eaten them b'chdei achilas pras. Therefore, all it says, it's not such a problem. That's why the Mishnah is saying that you can do it.
He's saying it's to eat this.
B'chdei achilas pras, that you eat the kazayas within the amount of time, within the amount of food that constitutes the pras. Right. You have a similar concept, by the way, as far as chametz b'pesach. Usually, we have a concept as far as eating matzah, that you have to eat it b'chdei achilas pras. But you do have, for example, a similar concept they talk about. Usually, of course, you're not allowed to eat chametz in any form on Pesach. But it can happen, let's say, for one reason or another, that a person has to eat chametz, has to take chametz medicine on Pesach, because there is no kosher Pesach equivalent, let's say. Nevertheless, what you try to do in that case is you try, if possible, to mix it with enough food that at least you're not eating kazayis of the b'chdei achilas pras. Even if you have to have, because
those is mashu.
What do you mean mashu? Chametz is Pesach for mashu, but a person is only chayav karis for eating kazayis of the b'chdei achilas pras. So this way, at least it minimizes the severity of the issue. Okay. So anyway, so therefore, Ola says that's not relevant to what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a person ate shlishi of cholin shenasu al taras truma, and I'm saying he's not allowed to eat truma itself. You're telling me a case where he ate shlishi, where, according to Rashi's first explanation, fine, cholin shenasu al taras truma, but there's so little actual truma in the mixture that's not an issue. Or, according to Rashi's second explanation, the shlishi itself was never cholin shenasu al taras truma. It only became truma when you put in the spices, and you didn't put in enough spices to give it a new status of truma. So no proof from there.
So either there wasn't enough
spices to turn it into truma, or there's not enough spices that him eating this food, which was tamei, should make him possible to eat truma. Right. So that's cholin shenasu al taras hakodesh. Rashi's first explanation.
Both would be the same.
Well, I mean, it comes out. Well, yeah. Well, it's both kazayis of seachel esprat. Both explanations of Rashi are using the same text of the Gemara. Okay, so now Rabbi Yonasan says in the name of Rebbe, here's a similar din to what Ola said. Ha'oichel shlishi shel truma atma. If a person eats, Ola was talking about a person eats shlishi of cholin shenasu al taras hakodesh. So the food itself is cholin, and the only thing that gave it a higher status is that he decided, to keep it at the status of truma. Now Rabbi Yonasan is talking about what if he eats truma itself that became a shlishi of the truma. Also lecha umutar liga. At that point, he's also to eat truma, but he's allowed to touch truma, which amounts to the same thing as what Ula said. The difference is Ula was talking about chulin shenasu aparas truma. Rabbi Yonasan, or Rabbi Yochanan, actually, as he says, is talking about shlishi of truma itself, but it amounts to the same thing. Ula had said he's not allowed to eat truma, implying there's no problem with him touching it, and Rabbi Yonasan is also saying that he can't eat truma, but he can touch it.
Okay.
So in that case, then isn't it repetitious? The Gemara says no. It's just the Ula, it's just the Rabbi Yonasan. No, we need both Ula's and Rabbi Yonasan's dinim. We wouldn't have been able to derive one from the other. To imid Ula, if we only had Ula's din, have Amina, then you would think like this. Hani Mili, you know when you're saying that he's still allowed to touch truma, it's fine, because after all, what did he eat already? Bechulin shenasu al paras truma. He didn't eat actual truma that became shlishi. He only ate chulin shenasu al paras truma that became a shlishi. Fine, we can be lenient on him. Fine, we can be lenient on him and say, we can be lenient on him therefore and say that he'll be allowed to touch truma, even if he can't eat it. But to say, but we don't know from Ula necessarily that the same thing would hold true if he ate actual truma that became a shlishi. Therefore, we need Rabbi Yonasan again. The imid is the opposite of Rabbi Yonasan. So, animal of a whole shenasu altaris truma, avol truma, ben negia nami alter. But you would think if he ate truma itself that became a shlishi, maybe Ula would say that he's not allowed to touch, that he's not even allowed to touch truma. Maybe we would hold him to a more stringent thing because of that. Therefore, it's the Rabbi Yonasan. Therefore, we need Rabbi Yonasan's din to tell us not. That he's allowed to touch it even in that. The image of Rabbi Yonasan, on the other hand, if you only had Rabbi Yonasan din, have Amina, Hanimila Truma, then you would only know the concept applies if he ate Truma, that was Shlishi. Abu Chulin, but if he ate Chulin, Shanafu, Alparas Truma, maybe it's not able to become like Truma, Bachila Nami Shori, so maybe he should even be able to eat Truma afterwards. Srichi, therefore we need both dinim, each one complements the other one.
One is to know
that it applies equally to chulin shenasu al paras truma as to truma itself, and the other one is to tell us that the concept that he's allowed to touch it applies equally to truma as to chulin shenasu al paras truma. Okay. More on this topic. Yosef Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marcha kamed Rav Nachman. Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marcha was sitting as a Talmud in front of Rav Nachman. The Yosef bar Kamar, he was sitting and saying the following thing. Up until now, the last bit of discussion, what we started with today and what we finished with yesterday, was about Cholin Shanasu al Paras Truma. Now let's get back to Cholin Shanasu al Paras HaKodesh, where we discussed earlier in the sugya, we had different opinions whether such a thing exists. In other words, whether it has any special status. Is it just like regular Cholin and it can go only as far as Sheni, or does it in fact have the din of Kodesh and it can go as far as Ravine? And therefore, what happens if a person eats it when it became Tomei Yitzhak? So Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marcha is telling us the din as follows. Ha'oichel shlishi shel cholin shenasu al paras hakodesh. If a person eats shlishi l'truma food of cholin shenasu al paras hakodesh, not paras truma anymore, now we're talking about paras hakodesh.
Really?
Well, no, the food itself is shlishi.
Yeah.
Tahar lecho b'kodesh. He says that person will be tahar, he will be allowed to eat kodesh afterwards. If he eats shlishi of cholin shenasu al paras hakodesh, he will be allowed to eat kodesh afterwards.
After what?
After eating this cholin. So he has cholin shenasu al paras hakodesh. It was supposed to be kept to the standards of kodesh. In the event it didn't, it ended up becoming a shlishi of the truma. Nevertheless, since it's not actual kodesh, then Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marcha is telling us that you're allowed to, after eating that, you're going to be allowed to eat actual kodesh. Why? She'ein mechadavah she'oyster revi'i b'kodesh ela kodesh mekodesh bilvah. Because he's telling us a new concept. The only thing that's able to create a revi'i b'kodesh, is only with kodesh mekodesh bilvah. Meaning, kodesh mekodesh means not only it has to be actual kodeshim, it has to be, Rashi explains, kodesh mekodesh means it has to be kodeshim that have kedushas haguf. We know we've learned real kodshim, real true blue kodshim. In other words, you can have, even when it comes to real kodshim, forget about holding for a second, real kodshim, let's say a korban, you have a period, or let's say menachas, for example, menachas, the loaves of bread of a toida, several other things, you have a period in their life cycle where you have a period in their life cycle where they only have kedusha dumim. You have a period when that kedusha passed. You verbally said they're going to have kedusha, which is also therefore it has kedusha dumim. The monetary value of it belongs to hekdesh. But at that point, for example, if it became kosher, you could be poyder, etc. Then there comes a point when they actually get kedusha aguf. The Rashi gives some examples: the meat of a korban, the loaves of a korban torah once you've shechted the korban, a mincha that you put in a kli sharei. All of those things now have kedusha aguf. That's what it means by kodesh mekodesh, real honest to goodness kodshin. No kedusha adamim, no chulin shenasu al paras kodesh, nothing. The only thing that can make something be a revi is actual real kodesh. That's what Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel B'Amarta is telling us. Therefore, the chulin shenasu al paras kodesh, it's not real kodesh. Doesn't have kedusha aguf.
Is this consistent with what we said before?
Well, so that's what we're going to discuss. We're going to discuss that. But so far it comes out. So far on the surface of it, no. I mean, it may work with one of the opinions that we said before, maybe because we said before that maybe Cholin Shanasu Al Paras HaKodesh has no special status. But this study that Ula understood Rabbi Yeshua to be saying that way. Yeah. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel B'Amarta is telling us, therefore, in other words, effectively, it can't make a Revi B'Kodesh because it itself is not Kodesh B'Kodesh. Well, of course, yeah, people dispute it because we had before, and we're going to discuss now, but actually, Tosfos brings up an interesting point. You got to ask, if this Cholin Shanasu Al-Taras HaKodesh is not able to make something else a Revi, and it's not able to passel the person from eating kodshim, in what sense is it a shlishi then? Why are we even calling it a shlishi v'tumah? What's the relevance of it being a shlishi v'tumah? So Tosfos explains that the relevance of it would be that if something else does become tomei with it, fine. It won't be tomei in the sense that if you eat it, that if a person eats it, he'll be chayev for whatever he gets for eating kodshim v'tumah. However, it will be possible to bring as a korban. So to take the example that Rashi. It could be a Revi, but in other words, to take Rashi's examples, we had one of Rashi's examples was a Chalis Toida. We said Chalis Toida start out with Kedushas Peh, and later on they get Kedushas Aguf only when you check the carbon. So let's say in between, so Tosfos is learning, let's say in between those two events, before you shechted the korban, let's say this shlishi shochol and shanasu al paras hakodesh touched these loaves of torah. What'll happen is you can't now shech the korban and make these loaves of torah become kodesh. The fact that they are a revi'a l'tumah blocks you from being able to do that. So you yourself, if you eat that, you will be allowed to eat kodshim. They won't actually make the kodshim literally a revi b'kodesh in the sense that if a person eats them, he's chayav karos or malchus or malchus magus or whatever. However, you won't be able to bring them as a korban. You won't be able to bring those loaves with the torah. You're gonna have to get other loaves to bring. You're gonna have to get other loaves to bring with your korban torah. Okay, I mean that's Tosfos' explanation. You have different other explanations that Rishonim and Achronim give what the relevance of it would be, what is it going to accomplish? Okay. Anyway,
so this is
Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel B'Amarta. Okay. Marcher was his grandmother or grandfather of Pashas. I don't know. I mean, you have a Marcher who was the uncle of Rav. It might be that this is a Marcher. It could be. I mean, usually it's a woman's name, but of course, I don't know. All right. Mosiv Rami Bar Choma. Okay, Rami Bar Choma says, I have a question. We learned before, and in the Mishnah that we were quoting before from Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, we said shlishi. If a person eats shlishi food, sheni la kodesh vein sheni la truma, he becomes a sheni as far as kodesh. He does not become a sheni as far as truma, and that is talking about the chulin shenasu al paras kodesh. But the question is, no, fine. There we're not talking about chulin shenasu al paras truma. Sorry. We're not talking about Charis HaKodesh, fine, but the question is, you, Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel B'Amarta, are telling us a new concept that the only thing that can passel you to eat kodshim is actual Kodesh Mekodesh, Amai. So why should it be that Gehei Tavir? I love Kodesh Mekodesh. You were talking about Chulin Shanasu Al Paras Truma. It's not even Kodesh of any kind, let alone Kodesh Mekodesh. Why should it make him a shame? By your logic, it should have no effect on conscience.
If the
food itself was Shlishi Shanasu Al Paras Truma, which is the furthest you can go with Truma or Chulin Shanasu Al Paras Truma, right? Al Paras Truma. But therefore, Shlishi is the furthest it can go anyway. So, according to you, it's not Kodesh Mekodesh. Why is, even you're gonna, the, you could, or, you, if we didn't have your din, fine, you'd say maybe it makes him a Revi. But you're telling me that Shlishi, you're telling me that the only thing that can make a Revi in Kodesh is a Shlishi of Kodesh. This isn't a Shlishi of Kodesh. This is a Shlishi of something else. So Rav Yitzchak tells him, yeah, but you know what? Set aside the question of eating truma itself, because you know what? Truma itself is considered tome relative to hektish. In other words, therefore, when you have shlishi food of truma, as far as kodesh is concerned, it could maybe be a shame, and therefore it could conceivably make the
So
Tosfos explains the different svaras as follows. First of all, by the way, I forgot to mention. So here's where Rashi says the reason behind Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Maariv's din is since the whole concept of shlishi by truma and revi by kodesh, Rashi learns is only drabanan anyway. Therefore the chachamim are not going to impose it when it comes to kodeshim so stringently. Tosfos learns that not. Tosfos learns that they're both daraita, so they would learn that, okay, the Torah itself imposes it so stringently only when it comes to kodeshim. Okay, anyway, the point is like this. Tosfos says, there's two ways of looking at the situation. Here you're talking about, you have chulin shenasu al paras truma. Remember, they're supposed to be kept at the level of truma. Nevertheless, they weren't because they became a shlishi levi. What does this mean? So Rami Bachama takes the view like this. We start out with the assumption like this, therefore Tosfos says. One way of looking at it is if you have this food was supposed to be kept tahor, and you allowed it to become a shlishi latruma when it was supposed to be kept al paras truma, and it wasn't supposed to be able to become, you weren't supposed to allow it to become a shlishi. You were careless, in other words. Therefore, you're thinking maybe it only touched the shin. For all you know, it could have touched the rishon. So therefore, it might well create something. Maybe it did. Once you weren't careful enough with it, and you allowed it to touch a shady, we don't know what else it might have touched. It might have touched the rishon. Okay, but over here, specifically, where you had a responsibility to keep it extra tahor, you decided voluntarily, I'm not just going to keep this to the level of chulin, where the maximum it can be is a sheni. I'm going to keep it to the level of truma and not allow a sheni anywhere near it. And you eventually allowed a sheni near it, and therefore it became a shlishi. So therefore, you never know. It could just as well touch the mission. So we don't have to say, in other words, now, but the point is, though, Rami Bachama's premise is, though, that we don't have to say that in general, truma food that is not tome is considered, that didn't touch any truma, that you should consider it tome relative to kodshim. We're not going to say that. We're going to say in this specific case, because he allowed it to become tome. Right. In other words, there's two ways of looking at it. Rav Yitzchak's way of looking at it is like this. Even truma that's tougher, even truma that never touched any source of truma, Midrabanan, as we're going to quote in a second, you have a concept that relative to Kodesh, it's considered Tomei. The level of Tahara that works for Truma does not work for Kodeshim. We know that basic concept. Everybody agrees to the basic concept. Rav Yitzchak says it applies not only to people who become Tomei or things that become Tomei, it applies even to Truma that remains Tahara. Even Truma that remains Tahara, relative to Kodesh, we would consider it as if it was Tomei. According to Rav Yitzchak, it would automatically make it tome, basically. whereas Rami Bachoma is taking the view, and Rava in a second is also going to take the view, that no, in this particular case, the food became tame because you were careless. Okay, then you could start having a suffix whether it became a shlishi, or did it really become a sheni, maybe you weren't paying attention or whatever. Rav Yitzchak is saying, in accordance with his own shita, that since food of truma itself is always going to be metame kodesh if it touches it anyway, therefore, so of course, sure, if a person eats shlishi latruma food, he's going to be considered a sheni as far as kodesh, because even the food itself, if it touches the kodesh, would make it tame. But that would make kodesh. Even if the truma was not any level of truma at all, it would make the kodesh tummy when it touches. So therefore, you're going to argue if he eats shlishi food. Then we'll make him a sheni as far as kodeshim. But not to say in the usual case that a person eats shlishi of cholin shanaflo a part of the kodesh that he shouldn't be able to eat kodesh, that we're not going to say.
Only for actual food
of truma as well as cholin shanaflo a part of truma.
Okay.
And Rabbi Cook says, where do I get this idea from? That even truma which is tahor is considered tamei relative to kodesh. The same we learn in Mishnah and Chagiga. Digde ama'aret midras l'prushin. Everything that we're saying in this Mishnah is d'rabbanan. It's based on things that are raisa, but the clothes of an ama'aret are considered midras relative to the prushin. The prushin are people who are careful in Tumah V'Tahara. Usually the term for them we use in Shas most of the time is kaverim. They're called prushim also, which in English that came out as Pharisees, whatever. They're called prushin because they keep themselves apart, parush, from the Amei Aretz, from Tomei. The point is like this. We know that if a person steps on or lies on or whatever something which is midras, something which was laid on or stepped on or whatever by a zog, then he becomes Tomei. Tomei midras, right. In other words, for example, a zog, for example, lies on a bed or sits on a bench or what have you, and another Tahar person comes and sits on that same bed, he's Tomei. That we know exists daraisa. Midrabanan, we make a rule that the Amei Aretz, we consider their clothes and their furniture and whatever as if it was midras. So therefore, we're going to say in a second why we have this din, but there is that concept. In other words, if a parush, if a chaver touches or sits on the clothes of an Amei Aretz, then he has to consider himself tamei and he has to go to the mikveh and do hair shesh. And he can't eat truma anymore. Yeah. Big day krushin midras loichle truma. Then we go beyond that. You have the clothes of a parush who's careful about ordinary levels of tumah v'tahara that are necessary for cholin. His clothes would be midras for people who eat truma. Same idea. Somebody who eats truma sits on the clothes of a parush, he or touches the clothes of a parush, he will be tamei as far as eating truma. So he goes there. The master's a shame of the truma, I think. I'm not sure. But whatever it is, the point is, I'm not sure about that. Maybe a vision. The point is, he's not allowed to eat truma. How much more so? Big day oichle truma midras l'kodesh, and the clothes of people who are tahor for truma are considered tamei as far as kodesh. So we see from that, Rabbi Yitzchak says, that even if a person is careful on truma v'tahara to the degree necessary for truma, like the oichle truma, nevertheless, he's not tahor as far as kodesh, and if a person who's going to eat kodesh were to touch his clothes, he would become tamei and not be allowed to eat kodesh, till he goes to the mikveh and does head of shemesh. Therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak says, I would say that applies not only to the people and the clothes and whatever, but also to the food itself. Food of truma, if it touches food of kodesh, will make it tamei. However, even if it's completely tahor. However, therefore, he says, so it's one thing then if a person eats shlishi of cholin shanaflo al taras truma, fine, you can argue it's possible to eat kodesh because even if the truma food itself had touched the kodesh, it would make it tamei, but based on this din d'rabanan. But to say shlishi of cholin shanaflo al taras truma, but to say that it's the same thing should apply to cholin shanaflo al taras kodesh, that not. However,
why not?
Because that's different. Because then he says that the only thing that can make a reviva kodesh is only kodesh makodesh bovan. So in other words, what he'll say is truma or anything having to do with truma can make kodesh tamei, but only shlishi of actual kodesh makodesh can make kodesh tamei. Shlishi of cholin shenasu al paras kodesh cannot. He says, Okay.
But Truma can.
Omar Rabba, so Rabba says, that's not a proof. Midrash is Kamrit. What are you trying to bring a proof from this whole case about Midrash, about the different degrees of Midrash? Shiny Midrash is, you know what is different this case of Midrash? You know why the Chachamim are so stringent and saying, no, no, fine, but we're talking, again, we're talking above an Amaris. We're talking about, you have the Amaris, then you have the Parish, then you have the Parish, then you have the Urchli Truma, and then you have the Urchli Kodesh. We're saying, why do you have all those degrees? Because what's the whole reason for the Gzeira in the first place, says Rabba? Shema Peshav Alein Ishe Nida. The whole reason for the Gzeira in the first place, why we consider that clothes are considered Midras, if we don't know what the story with them is, because his wife might have sat on them when she's a Nida, and he might not realize. Now, therefore, Rava says, so therefore, you could argue, yes, therefore the Chachamim are going to put in all these rules, and they're going to say, therefore, an Amoret, he doesn't necessarily pay attention where his wife is sitting. His wife, very often, once a month, his wife is going to be Nida, and therefore, there's a real, it's fairly common that she might sit on something and he might not pay attention. Therefore, the Chachamim declared his clothes Midra. Same thing, you could argue, fine, a person is a Paro, she's careful in Truma Vatara, nevertheless, he may not be careful to the degree that we need for Truma, of being careful that his wife won't sit on these clothes when she's in Nidra, because he won't pay attention, he may not pay attention enough, therefore we're going to say to be on the safe side of Nidra for Oikle Truma, and so on and so forth. Avo, Peri, Loyam Rinan, but to say the same thing as far as the Peris themselves, it's not that common that food is going to become Tomei. To say, it's not, I mean, food can become Tomei, but it's not necessarily as common a thing as with an Ishtar Nidra. Hey, and what do you have? Mukhshal Kabal Truma, but it's not... If she touches it when she's a nidah, yeah, she'll make a tummy. But that it's still, it's less likely than just sitting there. You pay attention maybe to what you touch. You don't necessarily pay attention to what you sit on or what you sat on or whatever, you know. So therefore, so as far as the payers, it's not as common. And so therefore, you could argue, if you're guarding...
To sit on payers?
No, not to sit on payers. That payers should become tummy. So therefore, you could argue that if he was watching them to the standards necessary for truma to prevent them from becoming a shlishi, then we shouldn't say, well, and they didn't, and they remained tar, to say, like you're saying, Rabbi Yitzchak, that because of that, they should automatically, nevertheless, they touched Kodesh, they're going to make them tameh. Why would the Chachamim do this thing, says Rabbi?
They wouldn't.
Rabbi Yitzchak, the Peri Nami Amar, whereas Rabbi Yitzchak doesn't accept that argument. He says if the rule applies to Midras, it also applies to Peris. Therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak says that that's it. Therefore, it means that the payers of Truma themselves, even if they were 100% Tahar, are Mitame Kodesh as soon as they touch it. Therefore, as a result of that, he says anything having to do with Truma, even if it's Kolon Shanas Valtar of Truma, if it's considered Tomei relative to Kodshim, therefore a person ate Shlishi of Kolon Shanas Valtar of Truma, he wants to eat Kodesh, nothing new. Nothing new. Nothing new. He can't do that. On the other hand, when it comes to Chol and Shanas, yeah, it's considered a shame. Yeah. That's what he said, Shani and Kodesh, yeah.
On the other hand,
when it comes to Chol and Shanas, Kodesh, not to the degree of Truma, but to the higher degree of Kodesh, then Rabbi Yitzchak is going to say, if that food became a shlishi and you ate it, then no, he's not saying again. He doesn't care about the fact that you were careless, the fact that this food shouldn't have become tummy and you allowed it to become tummy. That's Rami Bahamas and Robert's point of view on the matter. He doesn't hold to that. He says the only thing that can make Kodesh to be a Ravi would be actual Kodesh Makodesh. This is an act or anything to do with Surma. This is an actual Kodesh Makodesh. This is only Chol and Tanafa or Paris Kodesh. Therefore, nothing doing it doesn't make him tummy and he can perfectly well eat conscious. So it comes out basically that Rabbi Yitzchak is being machmir over Rami Bachama and Rava in one way and being maker in another way.
Really?
He's being machmir on Truma, but he's being machmir on Truma produce, touching Kodesh, but he's being maker on the case of a person eating shlishi of Chol and Shanas while Paris HaKodesh eating Kodesh afterwards. Yes. Most of Rabbi Yumi, asks, I can't understand. Where are you getting this idea? How can you, Rabbi Yitzchak, be telling me that you apply this concept that Truma is, that the standards of Truma are not good enough for Kodshim, that you're going to say it applies to the actual Peris, to the actual produce of Truma and Kodshim respectively? But it's not. We learn in another Mishnah in Chagiga, the end of Chagiga, half of the third Peris of Chagiga, and all the Gemara about it is about these dinim of Midras and the various degrees of Tum of Atara between Ame Oret and Krushim and so forth. Very, very, very complicated stuff. Anyway, Mishnah says over there, usually, now we have a usual rule like this. Again, Ame Oret are usually not trustworthy as far as Tum of Atara because they don't know all the dinim. However, there are certain times a year when we do truss them during the time of the wine pressing in particular. We truss them as far as tumah, as far as tumah v'tahara, to the extent that therefore, so if they have a barrel of wine and they take tumah out of it and bring it to a kohen during that time, fine, the kohen can accept it and he can drink it. We don't have to be worried that it's coming.
During what time?
During this period, during the period when they're pressing the grapes and making wine, during that period, if the Amaret says this barrel of wine didn't become tame, and I'm taking Shuma out of it and giving it to you, Mr. Kohen, then the Kohen is allowed to accept it and drink it. The rest of the year, not. But then the Chachamim didn't impose their rule of Tumah of Amaret at that time. I don't remember actually, but whatever. The point is, we're not really focusing on that. We're focusing on something else over here. So the rest of the time, not. If a month later, if after the pressing season, Amaret brings a truma of wine to the kohen and says, "I made sure to keep this cover," kohen's not allowed to accept it. It's truma tmeya. It's not osaban. No, but there's nothing. The only thing you can do with truma tmeya is burn it, and you can't burn wine. So therefore, you can't accept it. Okay. Now, the Mishnah says, however, there is an exception to that. Im Omar, if the Amoret says, even out of season, if he says, he trashed the Lasecha Revius Kodesh, I designated a Revius or more of the wine in this barrel as Kodesh, meaning that can be used for Nesachim, Neman, then we believe him on the Tanakh. Okay. Now, why should we do that? Kodeshim are supposed to have a higher degree, are supposed to be to a higher standard than Truma. If we're not trusting him this time of year on Truma, why are we trusting him on Kodeshim? So the Gemara there finds a very interesting reason. Rashi brings it over here. You don't want, like this, you have Truma, okay, so the Amaret can figure, okay, I can't give the Truma to a Kohen Chover, fine, I'll find a Kohen Amaret and give him my Truma, he won't care. But as far as when it comes to things of Kodeshim, if the Amaret, If we're going to say that we don't trust the Amir Oris on Tumah V'Tahara, they're going to figure, okay, in that case we don't need the Beit Mikdash. We'll go build our own Beit Mikdash and bring our own Korbanos over there, and of course that would be an Issur Karis. The expression in the Gemara, Rashi brings it over here: Shaloi Yehei Kol Echad Horlechol Boyne Bama LaAsnoi V'Sar Depar Adrum LaAsnoi. You don't want that every person is going to go build their own private Bama and bring their own Korbanos, because they're going to say the Chachamim who are running things in the Beit Mikdash don't trust me, or they're going to say they don't trust me as far as Par Adrum, so I'll go make my own Par Adrum. We don't want that. Therefore, the Chachamim said that we can trust Amea Oret if they say that something that was designated for Kodshim or something that was designated for use for Parah Adruma is Tahar, we can take them at their word.
But not Truma.
But not Truma.
Doesn't make sense, because they could say they're going to eat their own Truma.
No. No, because we know the Amea Oret we know are careful about Truma. Even the Amea Oret who are careless about Meister, they're the ones because of whom we have the whole concept of Mai, they still would separate out Truma.
We trust them
to give Truma. And we trust them that they themselves, if they're not Kohenim, are not going to eat Truma. We don't trust them as far as the Truma V'Tahara of it. They claim that it's Tahar, and you, Mr. Kohen, can take it and eat it. Not necessarily. During the Gittes V'Abadim, during the pressing, during the wine pressing season, yes. But outside of that, okay. The question is as follows. What are we talking about again? This time the artist is saying here, I have a barrel. In this barrel, I designated one Revius of it as Kodesh, and the rest of it is Truma, or some other part of it is Truma. And we're saying we trust him on the Kodesh part, and therefore we can trust him on the Truma part as well. According to you, Rav Yitzchak, that if Truma produce touches Kodesh produce and makes a Tameh, you see the problem. Below Tameh Tameh, let Truma Kodesh. So according to you, Rav Yitzchak, the whole thing wouldn't work, because as soon as he says that there's going to be Kodesh in this barrel, automatically the Kodesh is going to make the Truma Tameh. then what are you talking about? You trust him on the Tahara.
There's
part Truma and part Kodesh. Yeah.
So the Kodesh is going to make the Truma Tameh.
Exactly. By the way, I mean, Tosfos just points out what the situation is. Maybe we're not talking about that he said there's Kodesh in it right now, because then later on, how are you going to separate it out? What he means is he's saying, eventually, I plan in the future to take out a Revius of this to be able to use for Nesachim, and at that time, we'll use the concept of Breira to say which Revius it is. The point is that, whatever. Okay. So that's the question. The Truma should make the Kodesh Tameh. According to your logic, Rav
Yitzchak.
No, the Truma, according to Rav Yitzchak's logic. Even Truma that's completely Tahar makes Kodesh Tameh. So how do you have a barrel over here that's part Truma and part Kodesh, and it works?
It can't
on the face of it, yeah?
Or it's Tameh.
Right, okay. actually, Tosis has asked the question, okay, maybe in this case, you know, normally we're talking about, when Rabbi Yitzchok is talking about Truma making Kodesh Tome, he's talking about when you kept it to the standards of Truma. Here he's keeping it to the standards of Kodesh. So what's the problem? Maybe that's different. Tosis gives a couple of answers. One of them being that we're going to trust the Amma Arif on Kodeshim because we don't want him to build his own Bama. But we can't trust him more than we would trust a Chavar. And it's not logical to say that we're going to give him more trust than we would give a Chavar. If you're telling me that even Truma of a Chavar is going to be, somebody who's careful in Truma of a Tara is going to be Matame Kodesh, we can't say by the Amma Arif we're going to give him more leeway and say that his Truma is not going to be Matame Kodesh. Yeah. And that's one answer, essentially. Okay. Anyway. Amalei. So Rabbi Yitzchok answers, Truma b'chiburin ka'amrit. You're talking about a case where the truma would be as a result of things that are actually connected together, where you have them all, as we're saying, in one barrel. Truma b'chiburin shiny. You know what? It is different when they're all together in one barrel, when they're all in one case. D'migud meheman akodesh meheman nami atruma. Yes, we're going to say, since we trust the Sama Oret on Kodesh, and we have to because we don't want him to build his own bomber, therefore we're going to have to trust him on the truma as well. Which means, in other words, based on what Tosfos is saying, it comes out that yes, Rabbi Yitzchok is answering, in this case, we will actually give the Amma Arif greater Ne'amonus than we would give a Chaver in such a case. A Chaver, if he had Truma and Kodesh in the same barrel, Rabbi Yitzchok is saying, I would say the Kodesh becomes Tome. The fact that he's keeping his Truma
even to
Tahar doesn't help us. But for the Amma Arif, since we have no choice but to trust him on Kodesh, they don't build a Bama last night, therefore we have no choice but to allow them. That's what Rabbi Yitzchok is saying, that therefore the Chachamim would relax their rule in this case. Once they had to relax the rule as far as Kodesh, then it means automatically they're having to relax the rule as far as the Truma part as well, meaning, in other words, to say that we'll trust him, not only we know we trust him, therefore, on the Truma, on the Tara of the barrel as a whole, so therefore the Kodesh part can go to Kodesh and the Truma part can go to the Kohen, but also it means that, yes, it means the Truma in this case will not be Matama the Kodesh. But it's different, Rabbi Yitzchok is saying, in the case where they weren't all together in one Kavi, and you had food of Truma, or Chol and Shanasu al Tarif Truma that touched Kodesh, Rabbi Yitzchok says no, it will be Matame. Even it wasn't a Shlishi, even if it was completely Tomer, because the usual rules apply. Truma is Tomer relative to Kodesh. So when they're separate,
Kodesh and Bima, you will be lenient.
No, when they're together in a barrel, when they're together in a barrel, and we're talking about an Amma Arif, because if they won't build a Bama for himself, we're going to have to be lenient. But in all other cases, when they're separate, yes. Right.
So it leads to a kind of weird situation. You're more machmir for the chaver than you are for the amma arif.
Indeed. Rabbi Yitzchok is saying that's how it is. Okay. So now the question is, we've been arguing on Rabbi Yitzchok based on various sources to hear. Most of Rav Huna bar Nosson. So Rav Huna bar Nosson says, I have a contradiction from yet another Mishnah in Tapas. Hasheni shebecholin, sheni the truma food of cholin, which we know it can be, because cholin can be a sheni, metame mashke cholin, if it touches liquids of cholin, then it makes them tame, in the sense that it makes them a rishon the truma. Because we learned before, we learned yesterday that we have zera d'rabbanan, that in general, liquids that become tamei become a rishon. So therefore here, sheni of cholin, touch this liquid of cholin, it makes it a rishon. Makes the cholin liquid a rishon, which with all the consequences that has, meaning that liquid is now able to be mekamei other cholin food and make it a sheni. Poisol, or you want to say that.
And
truma and kodshin, yeah. And also sheni shebecholin is able to make food of truma that it touches a shlishi. It makes it kosel, as we said, kosel in the sense because the truma can't go further. Vashlishi, shlishi of cholin, and what would that be? Of course, it can't be plain cholin. Metame mashke kodesh or poisel oichle kodesh. It will make liquids of kodesh tome, again, it'll make them a rishon, or poisel oichle kodesh, and it'll make food of kodesh that it touches poisel, it'll make them a rabi, and that is referring to becholin shanasu al tarif kodesh. So what are you telling me, Rabbi Yitzchok, that if a person eats shlishi of cholin shanasu al tarif kodesh, nothing happens and he can eat truma? We see clearly from this Mishnah that it's actually able, that the truma is actually able to be metame things of kodesh.
liquids that'll make a Rishon, and then foods that'll make a Ravi. What are you telling me, this whole concept of only if it's Kodesh, Mekodesh? The Mishnah clearly says over here, we're talking about Cholin Shenafel al Paras HaKodesh, and it being a Shlishi is able to make the Kodesh a Ravi.
That's with Mashkin.
No, we're saying two possibilities. We're saying if this food touches Mashkin, it makes a Rishon of Kodesh, and if it touches food of Cholin, not of Cholin, of Kodesh, without any Mashkin in between, it makes it a Ravi. So you, Rabbi Yitzchak, are telling me this concept that only if it's Kodesh Mekodesh, only if you have, let's say, Chalitz Todah after the Korban Todah was shechted, then you and they become a Shlushi, then they can touch something else and make it a Ravi. But here we see from this Mishnah they're not. But Cholim Shanafel, all Tarat HaKodesh are able to do that also. This is Tanoi. You know what? It's actually Machloka Tanoi. It's Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, Cholim Shanafel, all Tarat HaKodesh, Harein Kholin. Cholim that are done, all Tarat HaKodesh, are like Cholin, so therefore there's no such thing as Shlishi or Ravi by them. Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik Aymar, Harein Ketruma, L'tami Shnayim V'Lifsal Echad. Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik says they're like Truma, in the sense that they're like Truma, in the sense that they're able to be Mekame 2 degrees and Pasol the third one. In other words, that, well, not they're able to be Mekame, rather, the first 2 degrees of them are able to be Mekame, and the third one is able to pop. The first 2 degrees are Tame, they're able to be Mekame, the third degree is Tafel. The Tame is Shine, but let's go ahead. So the laws of the subject, on the face of it, is coming up with a new concept over here. He's saying that, so up until now, we've been talking about that with Chol and Shanaf, Al-Taras HaKodesh, we said we had two diametrically opposed possibilities. Either they're no different than regular Cholin, the maximum they can be is a Sheni, or the other way around, they're like Kodesh and they can go all the way to Ravi. The philosopher of Tzadik is taking a middle view. He's saying that they're like Truma. They can go as far as a Shlishi, but no further. So they're not only like Cholin to be only a Sheni, but they're also not like Kodesh to be a Ravi.
So
the maximum they can be is a Shlishi. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak can say, I hold like Rabbi Elazar, I hold like Rabbi Elazar of Tzadik. When he says Latamish Shnayim V'Lifsal Echad, in other words, it can't do anything further than making a Shlishi. Even if it touches Kodesh, it won't become a Ravi.
To
make Truma possible, to make it a Shlishi, that it can do. But to make Kodesh anything that it can't do, to make Kodesh a Ravi, that it can't do. So Rabbi Yitzchak would say, I'm holding like Rabbi Elazar of Tzadik. Whereas the Tana of the Braisa that Rav Huna Bar Nosson brought, Hasheni Shebacholin, Mekame Mashke Cholin, that would be according to the first opinion of this last Braisa that we just quoted.
So it's a machloikis.
Now, among other things, the question is, where is Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik getting this in-between thing that it should be like Truma? Either it should be like nothing or it should be like Kodesh. Why should it be like Truma? The one answer that's given is, we talked about the beginning of the Sugya. We said a reason why we might say that it's not like Kodesh is because, after all, Butla Daike is a Kaladam, so few people eat Kodesh on a regular basis that we're not going to say there should be such a thing as Kulam Shanasu al Paras Kodesh to give them the status of Kodesh. However, after all, the standards for Kodesh are a superset of the standards for Truma, right? Kodesh can be Ravi, Truma can be Shlishi. So fine, we may not make it like Kodesh, Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik was saying, what might be saying, but at least, given that he wanted to give it some kind of special status, it should at least have the status of Truma, namely that it can be a Shlishi. That's one explanation of why Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik holds that way. Okay, so far... So that's his own opinion. I mean, who is the halacha like in this last braisa, by the way? The Rambam passed him like the Tanakama of this braisa. The Ravid actually asks on him, why are you doing that? On the face of it, the halacha should be like Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik, because there's actually a different... Well, not because he's the last one, but actually because you have... First of all, we had Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marcha saying like him, but also because there's another way of explaining Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik that basically he agrees with one of the opinions that we brought in the whole sugya before. So therefore, that would make that they're a majority, that you'd have two against one. But nevertheless, the Kesef Mishnah explains that Rambam would understand Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik the way we just explained him, that he's making sort of a compromise and saying it's only a Shlishi, and that's only like Truma, no more, no less than that, and therefore, in other words, not a Ravi, not like Kodesh, and therefore, fine, he's a Daf Yachid, and we don't have to tackle him like him.
So therefore, he
passed him like a Tanakama of the Braisa. All right, well, we still have more time, so we'll start the next sugya, but I did want to get out over here. Someplace on the shelf over here is the Hebrew or scroll colon, they have a good, useful summary in table form of all the different opinions that we've been dealing with over these last two blocks. So let me see if I can grab it real quick. Grab it. I should have done that. Right. Here. I got it. So now when we finish the sugya, we have as follows. So the basic two cases are the basic cases that we've been dealing with the whole time is a person eats shlishi food. That shlishi food can be one of two parts. The whole point is, we brought it in connection with our Mishnah, where the meat of this animal that was shechted will be shlishi if it's mukshel lekabel truma because his hands are shaking. So what are the two cases? They're both involving cholin. One is cholin shenasu al paras truma. The other one is cholin shenasu al paras hakodesh. So you have Ula and Rav Yonasan said, if he eats cholin shenasu al paras truma, which became a shlishi, he can't eat truma, although he could touch it. Rav Asi also says the same thing. Everybody says the same thing, that he's not allowed to eat truma, except Rav Yitzchak, who holds that he's completely tahor. Because shlishi of cholin shenasu al paras truma, and he says that's not enough to topple him as far as eating truma.
So he stays tahor.
So he stays tahor as far as truma.
He's allowed to eat.
So he's allowed to eat truma. Everybody else would say he's also to eat truma. That looks like the other guy. Okay, as far as Kodesh, that was where Rabbi Yeshua said that he'll be a Sheni. Everybody agrees with Rabbi Yeshua on that. So Rabbi Yeshua is a Tana. All these are Amiroim. They're not arguing with Rabbi Yeshua. They all accept Rabbi Yeshua's, opinion on that. That's as far as eating Kodesh. That's when he ate Shlishi of Cholin Shanasu al Paras Truma, or Shlishi of Truma itself. Then you have, what if he ate shlishi of cholin shenasu al paras hakodesh? Here's where you have all the different complicated opinions. As far as eating truma, you have some of the Amiroyim will say, you have Ula, Rav Yonasan, Rav Asi, Rami Bachoma, and Rava will all say he also eats truma, having eaten the shlishi of cholin shenasu al paras hakodesh. Rav Yitzchak will say he's allowed to eat truma. And Rabbi Bava Chana will say there's no such thing anyway, because there's no such thing as, he will say, In explanation of Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, that there's no such thing as cholim shenasu al paras hakodesh. They're just like regular cholim. There's no such thing as a shlishi by them. What about such a person eating kodesh? Here's where you have the Ula and Rabbi Yonasan will say that he's not allowed to eat kodesh. Rabbi Asi will also say that he's not allowed to. He's a sheni.
Why?
Rabbi Asi will say that he's a sheni because he ate shlishi of cholim shenasu al paras hakodesh. They understand Rabbi Yeshua to be saying when he says shlishi becomes a sheni means also that case. Rami Bachoma and Rava will also say he's a shame. Rav Yitzchak, on the other hand, will say that he's tahor. He's allowed to eat kodesh. The only thing that can make him possible to eat kodesh is something involving truma. And again, Rav Bachoma will say there's no such thing. There's no such thing as cholin shenasu al paras hakodesh.
So there's only truma.
So yeah, there's only cholin shenasu al paras truma. That's the summary of the different opinions.
Who's there offline?
So different parts of it, the halacha is like different ones. For example, as far as this last point that we were discussing, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, that if a person eats shlishi of cholin shenasu al paras hakodesh, that he's allowed to eat kodesh. Yes, the halacha is like Rabbi Yitzchak in that. Then he's allowed to eat kodesh, right?
And
shlishi
al paras.
So shlishi al paras truma. So then, there that I'm paskins like Ula and like Rabbi Yonasan that he is possible to eat truma.
We're more machmir on
Tarot Truma than we are on Tarot Kodesh. Yeah. Because people more commonly eat Truma than they do Kodesh, and therefore there's more commonly the concept of Kol and Shanasa al Tarot Truma than al Tarot Kodesh. Okay. Alright. Let's start with the next sub, yeah? We said in the Mishnah, now we're done with that sub for now, but now we still have more dinim of Truma Vitalis to deal with from another angle. Rav Shimon Omer Hochshu Rav Shchita. We said in the Mishnah that Rav Shimon has said even if no blood came out during the Shchita, the meat is Mochshu L'Kabel Truma anyway because the Shchita alone made it capable of becoming Tamei. Omer Rav Asi says, Oimer Hoyer Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon used to say, and by the way, Rav Asi is not saying what he says in connection with our Mishnah. He's saying it as an independent statement. You should know Rav Shimon holds Shchitase Machsheres V'loidam. The Shchita alone is what makes the meat Mochshu L'Kabel Truma, not the blood. Now, what do you mean, not the blood? Rashi explains. It means, in other words, that Rav Asi is understanding Rav Shimon to be saying, let's say blood does come out during the Shchita, as it normally does. Fine, both the Chachamim and Rav Shimon are going to say it's Mochshu L'Kabel Truma. The Chachamim because of the blood, Rav Shimon because of the Shchita. But let's say some of that blood then sprinkles onto something else, onto some other food. Rav Shimon is going to say it will not make that other food Mochshu L'Kabel Truma.
Why?
We'll see why.
It's
never mind. No. It's not even a matter of kavanah. Not even a matter of kavanah. Even let's say he wanted it to fall on there. Rav Shimon holds that blood of Shchita is not capable of being Mochshu L'Kabel Truma. Okay. So Lema Messiah, right? So should we say that our Mishnah supports what Rav Asi is saying? Because the Mishnah says Rav Shimon I'm a Mochshu of Shchita. Rav Shimon says that the meat becomes Mochshu L'Kabel Truma because of the Shchita. My love, the Shchita v'loy b'dam. On the face of it, we should assume that Rav Shimon means that it becomes Mochshu L'Kabel Truma because of the Shchita, but not because of the blood, because evidently he holds that the blood can't be mashed. The answer is no, not necessarily. He might mean after Shchita. He might mean that it's enough the Shchita by itself without blood. But he might still hold the blood is capable of making other food Mochshu L'Kabel Truma.
After
Shchita. Also the Shchita alone, without blood, is enough to be Mochshu this meat itself. But if there was blood, and therefore there's Shchita and blood, then the blood is capable of making other food become Mochshu L'Kabel Truma.
It's just without blood, only Shchita.
Yeah. So in other words, what Rav Asi, in other words, when you come down to it, Rav Asi is effectively saying that Rav Shimon is arguing with Chachamim on two things. Number one, if there was no blood, Rav Shimon says the meat is Mochshu, and the Chachamim say it's not. Number two, if there is blood, that Rav Shimon is saying that blood can be Mochshu other food to be Mekabel, it cannot be Mochshu other food to be Mekabel Truma, and the Chachamim say it can. So now, the Gemara is saying, not necessarily. The Chachamim say, without jam, there's no Hechshu L'Kabel Truma. Not of this meat, and not of anything else.
Right.
Rav Shimon is saying the meat itself is Mochshu L'Kabel Truma. Second of all, if there is
from the Shchita.
Second of all, Rav Asi's understanding is if there is blood and that blood sprinkles onto something else, Rav Shimon will say that it's Mochshu L'Kabel Truma because of the Shchita, and the other thing will not become Mochshu L'Kabel Truma because of the blood, because he holds that blood of Shchita is not capable of being Mochshu L'Kabel Truma, and the Chachamim will say that it is. However, now, so on the face of it, we're trying to prove Rav Asi's point from our Mishnah. But no, because when Rav Shimon says the Shchita, he might mean after Shchita. Just the Shchita alone is able to be Mochshu L'Kabel Truma. But the blood is also. So yeah, if the blood gets on something else, it'll be Mochshu L'Kabel Truma. No, the point is that Rav Shimon would be arguing on the Chachamim only on the question is Shchita Mochshu or not. Not on the question whether Dam Shchita.
He would agree with the
Chachamim about the blood. He would disagree with them about the Shchita. Okay. Toshma.
So they say no, he says yes.
Right. Toshma, Amalah and Rav Shimon, B'chiyat Dam, Machshir V'Ala Shchita Machshir. We have a braisa where Rav Shimon argues with the Chachamim. He says, you think that the blood is Machshir L'Kabel Truma? No, it's the Shchita that's Machshir. So that seems to clearly point to sort of Asi's point that he says the blood is not Machshir. The answer is not, again, not necessarily because Halki Kamar, Lahem, because maybe what he means, B'chiyat Dam, Dovad Machshir. You think it's only the blood that's Machshir L'Kabel Truma? Af Shchita Nami Machshir. Just the Shchita by itself is able to.
Why? Because
the Shchita itself is making it into food. Before it was Eid Menachai, and now it's food. Therefore, it's enough to make it. That's also able to become Tomei. Not Tomei, but Mokshu. Hey. Toshma. Rav Shimon Omer, we learn in another place, so that Rav Shimon says, or it's actually a Mishnah in Machshirin, Rav Shimon Omer, Dam Hanef Ein in Machshir. Blood from a dead one is not Machshir. Now, what do we mean? A dead one? Hold on. Rashi actually says we mean a dead animal, an animal that died on its own and blood came out of it. Rav Shimon is saying that the blood of such an animal was not matcher. What? Hold on. That's what Tosfos argues. That's one of Tosfos' arguments. Tosfos discusses and argues with Rashi's explanation on a number of grounds. And yes, Tosfos says that we are talking about blood from a human. Okay. But anyway, so the point is, Rav Shimon says, Dama Meth Eni Machshir, my lav. Now, if Rav Shimon is saying blood of a meth, meaning an animal or a person that died by itself is not Machshir, it sounds like it means hodam shchita makshe. Apparently, he means to say as opposed to blood from shchita, which would be makshe. The answer is no. Not necessarily is that what Reb Shimon is coming to exclude. Maybe he's coming to exclude hodam chalolim makshe. He might be saying to exclude the case of blood that comes from an animal that was killed in some other way other than shchita. In other words, when you think about it, yeah, for an animal or a person, there can be three basic possible causes of death. It dies naturally, it's shechted, or it's killed in some other way other than shechita. So Reb Shimon is clearly saying, dama mes eni machshir. Which one is he saying is machshir? Maybe it means dam shechita, but not necessarily. He might mean dam chalolim is machshir. So the question is, abel dam shechita. So what are you telling me in that case? Reb Shimon holds about blood of shechita, machshir, blood of, yeah. And the reason would be like this. Where do we learn b'chlal that blood is machshel l'kabel truma? The pasuk mentioned when the pasuk talks about being machshel l'kabel truma, it uses the expression if water falls on any seed or whatever, any food, then it's machshel l'kabel truma. Where do we know any of the other mashkim? The idea is basically with each one of them, we find some place where the Torah refers to that liquid as being drunk. That it's something that you drink.
Oil would do the same.
Yes, because you find the pasuk that mentions drinking in connection with oil, and the same thing with all the other ones. Now, what about blood? Where do we know blood from? The one way of looking at it is because you have a pasuk that says in one of Bilam's nevuot about the Jewish people, one of Bilam's brachas, he uses the expression "v'dam chalolim yisheh." They'll drink the blood of the killed ones. Not literally, obviously, even metaphorically, but still, the point is that in the phrase that the pasuk uses, it has the word dam in connection with yishta. So therefore, that tells us that blood is able to be machshel l'kabel truma. But Reb Shimon would argue, therefore, only dam chalolim, only blood from something that was killed, not by shchita. If it was killed using shchita, you can't call it cholol, you call it zavuach. It has a different term.
What about melika?
He doesn't say the pashas malika would stand in place of shchita. But we're not getting into that right now. The point is, so therefore, we could argue that Reb Shimon would say, dama mes eni machshir, because it's not dam chalolim. Dam shchita is also not machshir, because it's not dam chalolim either. Dam of an animal that was killed. The dam chalol, yeah, it'll be machshir, because dam chalolim yishta.
Dam mes is not dam chalolim,
because it died naturally. It wasn't killed in some other way other than shchita. It died natural death. Yeah. So the question is, Aval dam shchita ma'ilah machshir. So what are you telling me then? Reb Shimon is going to say that blood from shchita is not machshir. In that case, l'shne'inan dam shchita v'chol shekin dam ames. In that case, why doesn't Reb Shimon say, you should know, dam shchita is not machshir, and we would understand how much a kavach chomer, that blood of an animal that died naturally is not machshir. Because even less dam chalom.
If he says
dam ames any machshir, then we're not sure what he holds of dam shchita. But if he were to tell us dam shchita is not mashir, we would clearly understand. We met the kavach chomer from that. How much more so dam ames is not going to be mashir because even less like chalolim. So why did he mention? Because chalolim means that it was killed. You could argue that being shechted is more similar to being killed than dying naturally is. But the answer is the other way around. No, dam ames is chalay. No, just the opposite. Reb Shimon needs to tell us what he holds about dam ames. Because you would think, after all, when it comes to dying, what's the difference whether it died, whether a person killed it, or whether a malchamavis killed it, meaning it peeled over and died a natural death? You would think maybe those are similar. Mashmalon. And that is why Reb Shimon wants to tell us that not, that meitamei is not considered a chol. In other words, what we're saying is the other way around. That shchita is not like cholol is obvious.
Mes is closer to shchita than it is to chol.
The mess is closer, yeah, well, not really, but in other words, the point is that shchita is obvious, it's not. Mess, or cholol obviously is. Mess, we would think, is maybe more similar to cholol, and therefore we have to tell us that, no, I'm considering it more similar to shchita. So far, we're left with what Rabasi is saying, that Reb Shimon says, dam shchita is not matcher. So to be continued tomorrow, Beth Hashem, we'll get further into that. Yeah.